This is Safe and Sound. Welcome, my name is Sandra Kyle, and you're listening to New Zealand's only animal rights radio program. Today, regular presenters Lindley Tulloch and Paul Judge are in the studio discussing two topical issues concerning the culling of animals. One is the clubbing to death of baby harp seals in Canada, and the other is the culling of kangaroos in Australia. There are around 1 million planned for this year. Imagine you're walking in the park with your dog. There are many other people walking their dogs too. Suddenly, a group of men with clubs appear, and one of them starts to follow you. Before you know what is happening, the man swings the club above his head and with great force strikes your dog, smashing his skull. In shock, you look around at all the other dogs lying with broken skulls, and you realize with horror that a barbaric, insane bloodbath has occurred. That is exactly what the Canadian seal hunt is, a barbarous bloodbath. Seals are closely related to dogs, except baby seals cannot run away from those who seek to brutally murder them. With their bright, warm eyes and soft white coats, they're the picture of innocence and purity. Unsuspecting, they look up at their slaughterers trustingly. I'm reminded of a recent case where a New Zealand farmer living overseas at the time was videoed killing calf after calf by blunt force trauma, and until quite recently, it was accepted practice in New Zealand. What are we thinking? The toll to such barbarity is not measured only in the lost lives of innocents, but the stain it leaves on us as humans who carry out or condone such practices.
We've got a really serious topic to discuss today, and that is the issue of seal hunting in Canada and specifically. And Paul, I hear that you have a level of expertise in this area.
Well, I've had an interest in it for a long time. I guess it goes back to when I read the book about Greenpeace, the founding book, in the 1970s when they actually used the Canadian seal hunt as their first campaign. That was a time when the harp seal population was 2 million and it was fairly close to, you know, being an endangered animal at that stage, and so that's what drove them to push for that. And the population now is, I understand, about 7.5 million, so it's not an endangered animal anymore. There are a lot of reasons why they carry out this hunt, to do with the cod fishing and the seals eat the cod and so on, but which is not actually true. Scientists have presented papers to the government many times to say that the seals don't actually eat the cod. It's not a big part of their diet. The other big thing is the communities on the coast there, Newfoundland and Labrador, where there are a number of communities that rely on the seal hunt to provide economic activity and so on and generate income. It's 5,000 or 6,000 people, I believe. But the government subsidises this to the tune of about $2.5 million, and the local councils provide money and so on for seal meat processing plants and things. And there's not actually any appetite for seal meat amongst the Canadian population, I understand.
So where does it get exported to?
The good news is that it's a declining industry. The campaigns have had a success. So there's obviously a small market for it left. I mean, the industry has gone down from being a $34 million industry in 2006 to only being worth about $1.5 million now. So it's a really declining industry, but they are still doing it. There are a number of high-profile, you know, media people and film stars and so on trying to draw attention to it and opposing it and writing to Justin Trudeau. There's a lot of hope in Justin Trudeau, the new Prime Minister of Canada, to stop it, but so far he hasn't.
As I understand it, it was 2009 that the European Parliament voted by quite an overwhelming majority to ban the import of seal products. So there's no market for them there, which is really good, as you were saying. And the European Union ban had a significant impact that following year in 2010. Banning it completely, of course, would be what we'd be after. I hear you talking about these high-profile celebrities and how they're putting their weight behind campaigns to stop selling, which I think is absolutely great. I wonder though, talking about the Bambi factor, these seals are incredibly cute. Do they actually need anybody behind them saying, stop, don't kill me? They can speak for themselves, can't they, really?
Well, yes, but that's been the main driver, I think, in the success of the campaign so far, is that these animals are incredibly cute. And the whole idea for me is I just can't understand how one single individual who calls themselves a human being can actually go up to an animal as cute and as vulnerable as that and knock it over the head with a haka pick, which is what they use to kill them, which is a sort of an ice pick with a hook on the end.
Oh, that's disgusting. It sounds like a torture, doesn't it? I mean, as you say, what is the human brain when they can come up with these instruments of killing?
And this is the worst thing about it, is that they go out there and they kill these animals, their babies. They say the government has issued a thing to outlaw the killing of baby pups, but I understand that the fur is what is driving the fashion industry, and there's still a market for it. So it doesn't make sense when they say that they've banned the killing of the pups, but it seems to me, I mean, I read on a site the other day that 98% of the kill is baby pups less than 3 months old. So you've got this horrific problem with the cruelty issue, with the mothers seeing their babies getting killed in front of them, and some of them not dying straight away, and then they shoot them. When they shoot them with guns, of course they use guns as well, and half the time they're not dead, and there's eyewitness accounts of them rushing off into the water and trying to get away, and they've already got
read one of those accounts by Rebecca Oldworth, who's the executive director of the Humane Society International. She issued a press release after she witnessed the first day of seal slaughtering in the waters northwest of Newfoundland, and I quote, "Sealers are flagrantly violating the few inadequate rules that exist to protect seals. One baby seal was shot in the face and was shaking her head in agony as she crawled across the ice for several minutes, blood trailing behind her before a sealer clubbed her. Sealers were not checking to ensure seals were unconscious before impaling them on hooks and dragging them across the ice, throwing them onto boats and cutting them open. In the 12 years I have observed their commercial seal slaughter in Canada, this is some of the worst cruelty I have witnessed."
I think that's quite common to a lot of accounts. There's also video footage, if anyone can stomach watching it, on YouTube, and I think there are some quite famous scenes. I remember seeing one where there was a skinned pup that was still alive moving around in the bottom of a boat. It's beyond belief. I wrote to the Canadian High Commission in New Zealand here a couple of years ago, and I got an email back from them. This is a quoting from them. "The government of Canada takes seriously its role as steward of the environment and of wildlife, and makes every effort to ensure seals are harvested as quickly and humanely as possible."
Harvested?
You want to talk about that language for a little while there, Lindley? Because, I mean, I can't get my head around the use of that language.
Well, when we harvest something, you know, it's like picking apples. We harvest the apples, or we harvest the grain, and we harvest vegetables. The use of that language when we're talking about animals acts to cast a veil over the actual brutality of these industries. We don't harvest animals, we kill them. And once we start using the proper language, we might start to get some headway in pulling back this veil. And
because it is, isn't it?
It
I mean,
is.
To use the word harvest is suggesting that they are not sentient living creatures, that they're actually some kind of plant that you can pluck out of the ground or something.
It excuses it. Harvesting also makes it seem like someone actually planted them there in the first place, that they could then go along and harvest them.
Mm.
It's like it's there for the human taking. It's all those assumptions
right.
that are embedded in that.
And that notion of stewardship.
That's highly problematic. It goes back to biblical times, that, you know, within the Judeo-Christian traditions, around that notion of dominion over the earth and all the animals, and God created humans in his form, and so they were put on earth to govern and manage the land. And
all the other animals and creatures were there for us.
I mean, one of the ideas, of course, is that the Garden of Eden was this wonderful, beautiful place that humans were kicked out of because of their cardinal sin. And now there's this notion that as humans, we're always trying to get back into there. We're always trying to manage the environment so that we can have this place which affords us the luxuries that nature can bestow upon us, you know, as well as protecting ourselves from the worst excesses of nature.
But I think it does come back to that idea that human society just tends to have this notion that we're in charge of all the other creatures, and that they're there.
Oh yeah, we're in charge
use,
of them.
That we, that we manage them, and they're there for us. They're there for our purposes, even though they've evolved like millions of years I think this is interesting from the Canadian High Commission again. Canada is also supporting a team of international medical experts whose ongoing research explores the potential of seal heart valves human transplant, unquote. Now, how's that? That brings up a few ethical issues, doesn't it?
Very blatantly, it's that use of the animal in the service of humankind, which is an assumption that the animal has no subjectivity and agency and right to life on his or her own terms, rather that the human has a right to take that from the seal for their own good. So it's the use of animals in the service of medical research, which has always been a highly problematic issue.
Here in New Zealand, we have an experimental situation with some pigs, the Captain Cookers, because they're a purebred species that they've got on this island. It's a lab where they're experimenting with these pigs to utilise their body parts for human transplants and so on, like heart valves and this kind of thing. So that's actually happening here in New Zealand with pigs.
So it's Frankenstein's.
It is a bit like that, isn't it? Frankenstein.
Well, we're creating these animals in the image that we want to provide service for us, you know, with this notion of breeding. I mean, that's another issue altogether, and we don't want to change the focus.
But isn't it funny how you can breed an animal, and it's perfectly okay to breed a little baby animal like a pig or a seal, say, in this case in Canada, and they can kill that animal and take out its heart and put an element of that body, of that heart, a valve or whatever, into a human. Without any questions about the right of that animal to a life.
There's this novel, and you'll have to forgive me, I've forgotten the name of it, but it's based on some futuristic world in which these cloned humans are born. Do you know the book? It's one which draws parallels with what we're doing to animals, and it's used in human-animal studies. What happens is these humans are actually in this boarding school, and they get given the best of everything, their ultimate purpose is to provide organs. They have their organs harvested, and they're clones. They're born just for that purpose. You know, this notion of animals that are domesticated, animals that are bred for our purposes, versus the notion of animals that live in the wild, animals that are hunted,
and animals that are seen as pests,
and animals that have to be controlled.
The populations have to be controlled.
Well, I think what we have here is an intersection, really, between the notion of animal in the wild and animal as pest. So, what makes this kind of highly problematic here is that they're pests in their own territory, aren't they, the seals? I mean, that's their natural land. That's where they're born. That's where they've evolved in the ecosystem. So why are they taking too much fish from the sea? How can they possibly do that? You know, it doesn't make any sense.
And how would it look if, say, seals had the ability to cull humans? Because we're the ones taking all the fish out of the sea.
Absolutely.
So wouldn't it be a great science fiction scenario? Intelligent seals evolved to cull humans because humans are taking all their food. I mean, it's just a bizarre
notion.
Well,
you know, and it throws into stark relief this idea of intelligence, this idea of humans as being intelligent life, when we're actually the ones destroying the conditions of our existence.
We are.
And the conditions of existence for the millions of species of animals that have evolved over time to live in peace and harmony on the earth. I'm not denying the notion that nature is red in tooth and claw, but animals live in a way, or non-human animals, I should say, live in a way that takes into account the limits of their existence, and they work within established ecosystems accordingly. We're now entering the period of the Anthropocene and climate change, which itself is having issues for seals.
Well, that's the other issue as to why we should stop these hunts, because they are already in decline. Apparently, the survivability rate of the baby seals is declining because of the loss of sea ice. They have these challenges ahead of them, and they don't need to be hunted. And one of the things that gets me is that we're talking about a liberal democracy and a civilised country. It shouldn't be involved in these kind of horrific animal slaughters
So-called civilised people are responsible for the worst atrocities, I think, in the history of humankind.
Exactly, and people should get onto the websites, and there's a lot of hope now that the new Prime Minister Justin Trudeau will put a stop to this hunt. So there are plenty of petitions online you can sign. If you just go Canadian Seal Hunt Petition, or go to forcechange.com, that's one of the petitions that I signed the other day. But it's very similar to what's happening in Australia, isn't it, with the kangaroo?
Well, it is. But just before you go on, I'd just like to draw a feminist argument here. You know, this notion that hunters are coming onto the ice and clubbing these babies, and they're using a time when the female of the species is most vulnerable. Are the males up there on the ice too, or is it just the females suckling the babies?
Well, the pups are with the mothers.
Yes,
I understand. The males are never mentioned in any discussions that I've read.
Because they want the fur from the
fur
pups,
from the pups.
And they want the meat, I guess, for some kind of pet food market.
They discard the bodies, don't they? I think they kill the mothers sometimes and get the meat, but...
It's a disgusting thing. So baby seals they're born on these ice floes. They have to spend the first weeks of their life there until they're old enough to swim. And just while they're in that very vulnerable state, looking up with their tiny, beautiful white faces and big eyes, along comes a...
human.
To club them to death.
Yes.
And the mother seals are trying to protect the babies, putting themselves in between the pups and the hunters, and there's nothing they can do against the sealers because they're armed with these wooden bats and these haka pits, or whatever you want to call them.
And it's just so violent and it's so cruel, and it just makes human beings look like the most brutal animal on earth, which, in fact, we are.
We aren't. You know, this notion that humans are barbaric, I don't think they are. I think humans aren't naturally barbaric, horrible things. I think we're gorgeous and compassionate and empathetic. I think that side of us that is killing other creatures and so on is the machine, is the capitalist machine that has come in which we have become socialized into, that notion of exploitation and killing is a structure that we are born into, a social structure, and we're socialized in through the agencies of education, the media, the church, legal systems which sanction. And, you know, I want to get rid of this notion that humans are horrible, because I love humans. I think they're beautiful. I just don't like what they do.
To non-humans.
Yes, and to their own kind as well.
Shall we move on and talk about...
Okay, let's talk about kangaroos.
We do need to talk about the kangaroos, because that's happening as well at the moment. There's a cull that's been planned by the Capital Territory government and a nature reserve around Canberra. They're planning to cull 1 million... Can you believe this? 1 million kangaroos.
1 million beautiful kangaroos. With their little front pouches and their babies.
That's right. Their front pouches and their babies. And this is the worst part of it, is that they go out at night and they shoot them with guns. They don't always die. There's a high percentage of them that don't die. They're wounded. Even if they do die, their mothers have got joeys in their pouches, and the joeys have to be decapitated or killed somehow.
They don't have to be.
I'm talking from the hunter's point of view. Oh. They're told that they have to kill the joeys if they've got joeys. But often the joeys escape if they're old enough to run, and they run away from the dead mother and they starve to death, or they become hunted by other predators. And I mean, it's such a cruelty. It's a phenomenal mass murder of a native animal of Australia.
Okay, so just bear that quote in mind that you've just said there. It's a mass murder and it's bizarre, right? Two of the things you just said. Now let me contrast that with a statement from the Department of the Environment in Australia, who said the commercial kangaroo harvest is, and here I'm quoting, one of the world's best practiced wild harvest operations, with management goals based firmly on the principles of sustainability. How can you account for the diverse difference in your opinion and the opinion of the Department of the Environment in Australia?
Well, I mean, it's just like the Canadian High Commission telling me that the seal harvest is humane. The harvest regulations are diligently enforced to ensure that license conditions are followed and humane harvesting practices are upheld. I mean, it's just the same language, isn't it? Condoning these mass murders of these beautiful animals. And this is the thing that gets me about the kangaroo. Every time I look at a kangaroo or see footage of a kangaroo and these wonderful documentaries that get made about them, I can't help thinking they're so much like human. They're upright animals most of the time. That's what makes them look human. And they've got these, you can almost see an expression. You mentioned that you don't often see an expression on an animal. That's why we don't have this empathy for their suffering. But I disagree with a kangaroo. I think you can see an expression on a kangaroo.
I love kangaroos.
They're phenomenal animals. And I just think this is a native animal. One of the things that the government of Australia uses, the excuses, they all have the excuses, of course, and one of them is that they're affecting the biodiversity balances of the other native wildlife. That just doesn't make sense to me. I certainly know that a lot of these excuses that they use are countered by the ecologists that have been employed by the animal rights group, Animals Australia. And so their arguments don't really stand up in the face of ecological science. The key things here are it's all about the agricultural industry, isn't it? They're culling the animals.
Well, let me just, quote, I'm a fount of knowledge tonight. It's not just Australians that are partial to kangaroo meat, which is said to be very low in saturated fat, 2%, but it's exported to over 40 countries worldwide, with the industry saying it's worth an estimated $150 million annually. So that is what it's really all about. When you've got that kind of money going on, sustainability is thrown in there.
Oh, of course, it's an excuse. And yep, you're right about that. Animals Australia said that on their website. Don't be fooled by any of these excuses about the reasons for the cull. It's a commercial operation. You know, you can go down to your local supermarket here in New Zealand and you can see kangaroo meat. It makes me sick when I see that. We're talking about pet food here. Mm. A large percentage of the meat from kangaroos is sold, is exported apparently as pet food, and we see it here in New Zealand.
Well, it's also human food and is peddled as a sustainable. And some humans are now kangaroo-nietarians and they just eat kangaroos because they've bought into this discourse.
I thought you said there were people that didn't eat kangaroos.
No, they only eat kangaroos.
Oh. There are people also that don't eat kangaroos. They eat everything else but kangaroos.
I have some bad news for kangaroo munchers. In 2013, researchers found that L-carnitine, or L, is a compound found in all red meat. Fortunately, it's highest in kangaroos.
Mm.
And it's associated with the build-up of arterial plaque, which may lead to cardiovascular disease, heart attacks and strokes.
Oh, there you go.
So current Australian dietary guidelines recommend a maximum of 455 grams of lean red meat.
Yeah.
My recommendation, Lindley Tullock's recommendation, is no red meat. It's a body of an animal that didn't want to die. Would you agree with me on that, Paul?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The thought of eating a kangaroo, I mean, I remember there was a travel ad for trying to get tourists to Australia on our TV a while back, and it was like, they were talking about a particular restaurant you could go to in Adelaide, I think it was, and they were talking about the kangaroo steak, selling kangaroo steaks to tourists.
Well, this is it, you know, and I think a lot of tourists feel under pressure in places by their co-tourists to partake in things that are on the local menu. I know when I went to Darwin, someone was trying to shove crocodile meat down my throat and got into a big sulk because I didn't want to eat it, because I wasn't being adventurous in exploring the local cuisine. I mean, we really need to think beyond our superficial values to more deep-seated concerns around the impact our eating habits have on supporting industries such as tourism, such as meat industries.
I guess it comes back to that disconnect that most people have about the meat on their plate and the actual living animal it comes from. And I think, certainly in my perception, I think the idea of eating a kangaroo is pretty abhorrent.
I know it's abhorrent, but can I just say, it's no more abhorrent than eating any other animal.
Of course.
But may I just also say that the sustainability argument that is used is that kangaroos have a much lower environmental impact in terms of water used. Cattle and sheep have hard hooves, which cause land degradation and soil erosion, and kangaroos don't. The environmental benefits of eating kangaroos, if you substitute them for beef or lamb, is that cows and sheep belch out large amounts of methane, a greenhouse gas 20 times more potent than carbon dioxide. Kangaroos, on the other hand, produce very little. So switching to kangaroos can help ease your carbon conscience. This is the arguments that are being put out at the moment.
Yes, and I've actually come across that argument when I was in Australia last, and I was talking to some people around this whole industry of kangaroo, and they were telling me exactly all that stuff about the environmental friendliness of harvesting kangaroos as opposed to beef farming and sheep farming.
So there you have it. You've got this notion of the pest who is culled, or this notion of an animal who lives in the wild who is overpopulating and needs to be culled for protection of the wider environment, which also happens to boost an economic industry which is wanting to grow. And if people can't actually look below the surface of these statements to see the reality of where they're coming from, and it's sad because we can only reclaim our humanity through being able to perceive the machine-like structures of economic capitalism that render these animals objects and legitimately exploitable. Once we can perceive that, then we can act as humans in the world with compassion towards our fellow creatures instead of acting like in the embodiment of the capitalist machine, a cyborg, if you will.
That's right. And I think, just to wrap up, please go onto the websites, sign the petitions against the Canadian seal hunt and the kangaroo cull in Australia.
Well, thank you, Paul. I'll hop away now.
Thank you very much. And
over and out.
Have a good night.
Or day. Bye.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that lively discussion from Lindley and Paul. Please do go onto the sites and sign the petitions against the seal hunt and the kangaroo cull. Individual signatures do make a difference. Would you also mind going to our Facebook page, Safe and Sound Radio Show and Podcast, and liking it? Much appreciated. We'll go out on a song by the incomparable Vegan Smythe. Go well, everyone. Bye-bye.
I'm a badger from England, that's black and white. I sleep in the daytime and scurry round at night. I dwell in a tunnel deep underground, and the government is plotting to shoot us all down. Save us from the cull. It won't solve your problems, get it through your thick skull. Save us from the cull. They say if they kill us, cows won't get TB. But the independent scientific group disagree. The farmers demand something has to be done. Vaccines are not licensed, but they'll license a gun. Save us from the cull. It won't solve your problems, get it through your thick skull. Save us from the cull. Of every 10 badgers, and that includes me, the government is scheming to kill all but 3. We'll bleed in our burrows, we'll scream and we'll run, while the effect on the scourge of bovine tuberculosis, according to research, will most likely be none. Save us from the cull. It won't solve your problems, get it through your thick skull. Save us from the cull. Save us from the cull.